Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Training Lemon. I'm your host, Bryce Castillo. This is the show where we talk about social trends and news pieces, topics, hot topics. That should be the name of the show, is Hot Topics. I don't think that there's anything conflicting with that, but we'll see. I'll have to run it by a lawyer. This week, we've got a good buddy of mine. We have Sign on the show. How's it going, Sign?
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty well. How about yourself? You're sounding a little under the weather, but I'm glad you could make it here for the show.
Yeah, pretty much. Apparently, something decided to, I tried learning fire eating, but unfortunately, I still need to read a few more of Brian's book before I'm good at it, but I guess I'm okay.
Good. People might know you from you do some podcasting work. Yeah, you're on Twitter at KeySign, right?
That's right.
Do you want to tell anybody a little bit about your podcast?
Well, yeah, pretty much the main point of my podcast, which is called Virtual Log, mm-hmm. There's a lot of history and a lot of amazing experiences that happen in virtual worlds. A few weeks ago, there was that whole thing where a lot of people were going crazy because there was a concert in Fortnite. But
right.
But you'd be amazed at like how amazing these kind of virtual experiences can actually get. I mean, there was a time in which there was literally I know you've seen The Office, the American version of The Office.
Right.
That one time in which, Dwight's, playing Second Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what you may not have known is that actually at the time when that was happening, they actually built everything that you saw in Second Life, and they actually had a person going during office hours as Dwight interact with. And it was a complete and total interactive thing. So like the other people that you see, mm-hmm.
Actual live experience. It was an actual live experience.
I mean, there's amazing things, and you never would have known that if I never would have told you.
Man, I've been watching Lost recently, and they've got a really good wiki for Lost, and mm-hmm. one of the things that it has documented okay is that there were a lot of like ARG types of projects around
right.
the later seasons of Lost, websites that are no longer up, like books
right.
that were written, these interactive services that kind of just aren't around anymore, and so documenting that stuff is really helpful, because that stuff will get lost if it's
yep.
not documented.
Exactly.
We actually have a really great story coming up in the second half of the show here. On that very topic, I'm so glad that you being on the show is happening this week. But before we get into that, I wanted to do a quiz that you brought to the show. This is our first time someone brought a quiz to the show, you brought this because this was like a big nostalgia thing for you, right?
That's right. I mean, getting into the virtual worlds and these virtual experiences, this is very important. And also, mm-hmm. this is something that not only do I need to know my answer for my own personal reasons, but I know that the world needs to know about you.
Yeah, so we're going to take this one together. This is from Candace Darden from the BuzzFeed staff. Which Neopet matches your personality? Okay, before we get into this, A, if people don't know what Neopets are, if for some reason someone is listening to the show and doesn't know what a Neopet is, it was like after the Tamagotchi boom in America, but it was like an online pet. It was like an online pet service, and you would have these little guys, and they would come in different colors, and you could paint them to be different colors, and you would play games and get coins, and there was like a big community element to it. It's still running, and I think it's kind of an oddity within the past like year or two, just because the forums on there are, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe them, but it's kind of a weird place that is still up and running. And even though it's ostensibly for children, a lot of adults are using Neopets today. So
funny thing about that, and this is me doing that internet historian thing. So it actually started out as something that had a lot of adult references built into it. Mm-hmm. Like there was like alcoholic items and different things that were actually built into it.
Oh, really?
Before it, yeah, back way back when like everything was really crappily hand drawn in MS Paint because the site's artists weren't artists,
right?
And everything, and then it got bought by Scientology.
That's right. That. And that was an early buy, or that was like early in the site, right?
That was an early buy, and they did a whole big infusion of cash. But unfortunately, they couldn't oust the management and a lot of the structure of the site. So they tried doing all kinds of weird things, like, you know, seeding in Scientology messages and everything, but they weren't able to. They just the site's management were. They didn't allow any of that stuff to happen. So it just ended up being something that they had to sit on the cost. And then it ended up getting bought by Nickelodeon for a while. Now it's owned by I'm trying to remember what Chinese company, but it's now owned by another Chinese company.
Knowledge Adventure? No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it got bought by Jumpstart, and then Jumpstart got purchased by a pretty much a mobile app developer.
Wow. That's great. I didn't even realize that. And wow, Viacom owned them for like 10 years.
Yeah, they owned them for a long time. So there were so there's a lot of like dug in, like there were like quests and such that were like I think that I'm pretty sure that there was like a Legend of Korra like quest line, and yeah.
Really? Oh my god. That's I had no idea, because I it feels like I certainly stopped using Neopets as you kind of age out of it, right? But that's kind of incredible. That's really wild.
I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know how anyone could possibly age out of Neopets. I'm looking on a shelf right now behind me. There's a Kachik. There is several different Aishas. I'm just saying. OG right now.
But it's like RuneScape, right? Like RuneScape is having a big resurgence right now because of quote unquote classic RuneScape, you know, having mobile apps and still being online. But it's almost like a nostalgia wave. Like people are coming back to it after a million. Okay, this is really great. We have to get to this quiz, and we will talk all about this in the second half of the episode. I swear. This is perfect. So this quiz, which Neopet matches your personality? Did you have like a favorite of your Neopets? I think I remember what type mine was. I'm gonna have to look it up just to make sure. But I think mine was, it was like a little dragon one. It's not the one on this screen, the Scorchio. Is it the Shoiru? This is it. The little cutesy dragon. That's what I had. I think I had like a red one of these guys.
I'm trying to remember. I just reached up. Mine was most definitely this little fish. I'm trying to remember.
Is it the koi? Is it possibly the koi?
Yes, a koi. Yeah. It's koi. That's it. It's a koi. Because I'm holding I am literally right now holding a koi plush.
Wow.
Like right now in my hands.
That's crazy. And I'm looking, they've got a web page on the site that lists all of the like different species. And I'm really surprised they haven't gone crazy and added a ton more. Like these bottom 10 or 12 are the only ones I don't even really recognize, but the rest of these have been here certainly since I was playing.
Well, one of the big things is that they're very smart with the way that they've been maintaining the game. Mm-hmm. Because when you add more species, that really adds to the complexity of everything, because they have to make sure there are several different body types, and for which body type that creature has, they have to do all of the clothing.
Oh, right, because all of them have tons of different colors, tons of different, like, clothes. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
And so the adding of a new species is some massive undertaking. And, you know, because there's tons of different colors. They have these things called paint brushes where you can use and all kinds of stuff. So, so yeah, it's a big undertaking. And so so they usually only add a new species, you know, once in a blue moon, and focus on just bringing the current species to parity with other species. That's so weird. That's really weird to say. That's a weird thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take this quiz here. I'm also going to take it here. I'm going to take it in the separate window here. And let's find out which Neopet matches our personality. How about it?
All right.
Choose a Neopia vacation destination. We've got Mystery Island, which kind of looks like a tropical sort of thing. Kralidor, which looks like a moon or some sort of evil planet. Meridel, which is looks like a fantasy sort of knights and wizards land. Altador, which looks like a walled city. The Lost Desert, which is a kind of an Egyptian desert vibe. And then there's No Place Like Home, which I guess is just the main sort of village of Neopia. I don't think I recognize any. I feel like when I was playing, it was like there might have been a very stripped down version of this Mystery Island, but it was a lot of like new places coming soon. But I don't know, man.
See, already I'm starting to regret this. I'm already starting to regret choosing this quiz because they don't have the space station.
Oh no!
And see, that's the best place. But
this Kralidor kind of looks like it's in space, but it looks evil.
Yeah, I think that's like the evil place where like all of like the bad guys like to hang out.
Yeah, and apparently, play with coloring books. There's a coloring pages link here on.
Oh yeah,
image.
and then obviously you can color there. you can color there, but I think I'm gonna stick with home because that's where you start out. That's where you feel comfortable. It's also where you can get free shit. So that's what I'm all about.
Man, if it's a vacation destination, I might do the Lost Desert. I think I'm going to do the Lost Desert. I don't know. I like the heat. I like the heat. All right. Question two, pick a paintbrush. So you can pick a kind of your coloring here. We've got a rainbow, clouds, pirate, Darrigan, which kind of is like an evil sort of looking, royal, water, Lutari, which is kind of a... like maybe a Pacific Islander sort of native looking one, woodland, which is like a tree with mud on it, and starry.
So this is a hard question for me because, you know, me being queer AF, I'd be thinking either going rainbow. But I think I'm going to go Lutari because it does give you that Pacific Islander view. And then also, being someone that knows rare shit, the Lutari is actually an animal that you could not get through any normal means. There was actually back in the days of old Java games that you would get on the old flip phones, the color flip phones, there was a game made by them called Lutari Island. And if you played Lutari Island, then you unlocked the Lutari. And that is the only way that you could get a Lutari. And see, obviously, those apps don't exist anymore. So you can't get a Lutari except on Lutari Day, which happens once a year.
Wow. Okay. So you're really going to go for like the rarity play here.
That's right. I gotta flex on them.
Okay.
I gotta flex on them.
Man, I felt very similar about rainbow, because I mean, come on, you don't like rainbow.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I kind of like royal. I kind of like royal a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I just have a thing for guys wearing those little paper crowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Royal, though. I don't know.
There you go.
Okay. All right, here we go. Question three. Where would you want to win a prize from? Okay, I'm going to take this first because you are probably going to know what is more actually valuable than I do. So we've got the Forgotten Shore, Count Von Rue, which is one of the Rues, but he looks like Dracula. The Wise King, which looks like a sort of Warcraft character. The Snowagger, which was it's an ice snake. The Wheel of Excitement, I remember that. It's like a big Wheel of Fortune. The Scratch Card, the Wishing Well, the Healing Springs, or the Brain Tree. I think for me, I think I would probably go. Where would I want to win a prize from? I'm gonna say. I bet there's good loot at the Forgotten Shore. I bet the Forgotten Shore feels like something that doesn't have a lot of loot, but if it does, it's gonna be good. So that's my pick. I don't know.
Snow Rager for me.
Oh really? That was quick.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Got to go for it. Just got to go for it, because the thing is that you can keep getting shit until you wake that motherfucker up. Once that motherfucker's up, then you are done. You are done. But if you can sneak in, get out, you're good. It's like Metal Gear Solid, except Neopets.
Was that a game or was that just like a roll of the dice?
It was like a really RNG thing where pretty much you go there and you just keep. Like when it goes to sleep, then you just keep going and refreshing the page over and over and over again until you wake it up, and then you're fucked for like a few hours.
Oh, huh. Interesting. Now it's okay. So the illustration of the snow wager is I kind of remember these, but it's like a lot of like egg looking things. What were these eggs? Do you remember these eggs?
I'm trying to remember. So. My spouse isn't here, but specifically for the very reason that like we would end up being an interview with Cass about Neopets. But yeah, it was just like RNG items.
Orangey items?
RNG items.
Oh, RNG. Random number generator. Like yeah. Items. Very cool. All right. Well, there you go. All right, let's do another question here. Where would you work? We've got a lot of options here. The bookshop, the hospital, the pet shop, the stock market, the Zazzle t-shirts, magic shop, art center, theater, or Neo Lodge. Now, do you know what the Neo Lodge is?
I'm trying to remember.
Like most of these make sense. A Zazzle t-shirts almost sounds like some sort of actual merch part of the site, or maybe that's a clothing thing. Pets were the things. Your Neopet could have its own pet, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. The Neo Lodge was pretty much when you couldn't take care of your pet. There's a bunch of different. There was a bunch of different hotels where you could board your pets, and then depending on the expense. Of the particular place,
it was how happy they were.
It would maintain, yeah, a certain level of happiness while you're not, you know, while you're abandoning them.
All right, where would you work? You're in the Neopets world. We're saying, you know, it's not just a website. You're actually living there. Where would you work?
Probably the magic shop. Magic is a very, very big thing to me. So. Yeah, I'd be in the magic shop because then it's magic and mysticism and, you know, you're selling all these different wands that could like do all kinds of things, transform things into other things, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah.
Now you're in the magic, right? How long have you been like learning magic and like trying to practice magic and like how long has that been like a thing from since childhood or?
So it was a hobby since childhood. It was a big hobby since childhood. I would get like all kinds of little different things and play with stuff. But a few years ago, Cass and I were in a kind of bad situation and, you know, pretty much practically couch surfing. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how I ended up discovering Scam School and all of that. And that was actually a big, big saving grace for me. It was an escape. Wow. And that's when I started taking magic seriously. And that was years ago. That was before Night Attack and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I got the nerve to send Brian Brushwood a letter in the vein of his letter to Teller.
Right.
That's how he and I formed kind of a relationship for talking about, like, him sending me nuggets of advice every now and then.
Yeah. Were you performing, like, because Brian, you know, infamously was performing magic on the street when he was getting started. Is that sort of what you were doing when you were kind of in that down period?
That's pretty much what ended up happening. I ended up starting to perform for friends, and then I did just this strolling thing because I would have periods of time where I just needed to get out of my own head. So I just wandered around the streets of downtown Fort Myers and just performed. And then I ended up, my first paid gig was in a kind of like a, like an elderly, like an art center that was having like an elderly event and for them. And then it really formed that whole kind of community sense, because then, like, you know, afterwards a few of the old guys came over and they were just like, well, I've been practicing magic and blah blah blah. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for someone to get into, even if it's just, if you have any inkling of, like, any interest in magic, jump in. Everybody is just so welcoming, and it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful community, wonderful, wonderful thing to do. It gets you out of yourself, and
you'll be surprised by the people who are interested in magic, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
A few months ago on Night Attack, we had Kate Raft from Jack AM on, and they were answering questions about magic stuff, and she had mentioned that she was into magic when she was younger, and it was like, it's cool, because you never know who either, you know, was interested in the past or what people think of it.
Right.
And, you know, I do work on the Scam Nation channel, which used to be Scam School, and it's a really sort of insular production based thing for me. So I'm like not super keyed into magic, and I don't even have like kind of the history of doing it or really interacting with it when I was younger. And so that's always really, you know, a perspective thing for me, was when people share their own experiences of you know, getting into it and being a part of that community. It's a really fascinating sort of subset, but tons of people have feelings on it and experiences with it, you know, from the viewing side and the performing side. Yeah. Man. Okay. We got the quiz still here. Where would I work? I was thinking maybe the stock market, because I always, whenever a video game has some sort of stock market like mini game or something, you know, I always like really get addicted to that. But I think it would probably just be the theater. I think I was not a theater kid. But if 29-year-old me was going into the world of Neopets, it would probably be theater. I'd probably be working in the theater. Yeah. All right. Let's see. A few more questions here. Choose a basic food item. So we have some different types of foods. It's not a BuzzFeed quiz without a food question.
Absolutely not.
We've got donuts, jelly, bacon omelet, galaxy milk, Slurpee, jalapeno pretzel, cheese round, sushi roll, or mushroom omelet. I remember omelets were a big thing in Neopets.
It's all about the omelets. It was all about the omelets because that was the easiest thing to draw. And if you look at this, you can see that some of this art is, well, it's actually second generation, but like it's very MS Paint, and I gotta say that bacon omelet is looking as delicious as it always has.
You're going to go bake an omelet?
Going to go bake an omelet.
What I love, the two omelets on the quiz here are, you can tell that they have the same like basic form, like the basic rectangle underneath them. And then just the toppings have been like pasted on, which I love. And because they're omelets, right, you can put fucking anything in an omelet. And so, yeah, like you said, you can just make a million omelet items. Oh, man. I think I have mentioned on the show I don't do great with eggs. So the omelet's probably out for me. I feel weird. Okay. I'm looking at the sushi roll and I'm freaked out in thinking about that in the same way that some people think about Pokemon, right? Like, if you exist in a world where there are like, there's another non-human primary species that is just like the center of everything, how could anybody eat meat? What meats are you eating? And so I think in a human world, I know what a sushi roll is. That's going to be some, you know, it's going to be some salmon or some whitetail or whatever. I have no idea what's in this fucking sushi roll. And if I had like, if a fish was my Neopet, I don't know that I could eat sushi. That would feel super weird.
Yeah, I can't. I've always stayed away from those sushis. My koi would look at me funny.
I bet, man.
But like, mm-hmm. that, the thing is like, you are absolutely right, and I am very, very eager to find out how they're going to tackle that in Detective Pikachu, because that's going to be some fucked up.
Yeah, that because that's always been a big question. Like, as they started adding more Pokemon later, right? Like, oh, here's a cow Pokemon, and so that's kind of where milk comes from. But like, you look at those first ones, and like, some of those Pokemon were definitely meant to, I mean, fucking Farfetch'd was literally meant to be eaten, right? Like, the joke was that it carried green onion around with it because it tasted so good.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. But that kind of, that Detective Pikachu sort of has a gritty sort of look to it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they leaned into that a little bit.
Some of the recent media mm-hmm. that has come out around that, they are totally, totally leaning into that hard thing. There's a clip of Detective Pikachu, voiced by Ryan Reynolds, looking at this kid's bed, and he's just like, "Oh, you've got a Pikachu bed. That is flattering and also highly disturbing."
Yeah, and by all accounts, Detective Pikachu is still a Pikachu. It's a Pikachu this guy can understand.
Yeah,
that's man. That's interesting. I don't know. That movie's gonna make a lot of money. That movie's gonna
make a lot of money.
I've thought about it. It's donuts. It's very easily donuts. I love donuts. There's some good frosting colors on here. You got the blue. Absolutely. You got the chocolate. You got the pink. Donuts. Okay.
Donuts all the day.
Choose a pet. So these are pets that your Neo pet can have. So we have the Noil, which is a lion, and it's lion spelled backwards. We have Felly, which kind of looks like a jellyfish. Hornsby, which looks like a pig. It almost looks like a boar, but with two horns. No, yeah, some pigs have horns, yeah. The Flouper, which is kind of like a gremlin-looking thing. The Doggo Fox, which is adorable. It looks like a dog and a fox.
You just gotta hug it.
The Beak a Doodle, which looks like a hummingbird. The Tiger Mouse, which is a mouse with badass racing stripes. The Karma, which is an iguana but with a really sick hairdo. And then the Triffin, which looks like a little yeti, and it has three eyes.
See, this is the hard one.
Yeah,
this is a hard one because pets are great. See, the thing though is that I'm very, very happy is that they didn't get into pets.
Oh God, they could have too.
Well, no. I'm literally saying, I'm saying that's actually a thing.
There are pets.
There's
pets. And there are. Oh my goodness! And there's so many pets.
They're even tinier.
Oh my God! They're all bugs. Most of these are bugs or spiders. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't even look at this. I can't even look at that right now. Okay.
So I'm thinking, oh god.
There's a lot of good options. The Doggo Fox is adorable. The Noil is very cute. Oh man. The Tiger Mouse, that thing has got to go fast. It has got to go fast.
Yeah, it's just made for speed. Mm-hmm. That thing is just it is aerodynamic. I'm flip of the coin.
Okay.
We're gonna go with the Doggle Fox because that thing is just, I mean, you just gotta squish it.
It's so adorable. I think I'm gonna go with the Karma. I like its hair. It's got like this great mane, and I just love it.
It is luscious right there. That is just, it's just like it's swept back and everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like I can't even. It's almost like a greaser's hair, but if it was a mane that went all the way down the chameleon, the karma's back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That right there, that is green confidence. That's what that is.
All right, we have four more questions here, so we'll speed round these. What's your favorite game in Neopia? Ultimate Bullseye, Destructo Match, Fairy Bubbles, Mirka Chase 2, Stock Market, Fashion Fever, Zero Ball, Ice Cream Machine. Oh, I remember Ice Cream Machine, and Carnival of Terrors.
Gotta say Stock Market, because it is just, if you know how to play that, then you will sweep money, and it just prints money. That's pretty much what it is.
I'm gonna go with the Ice Cream Machine. I feel like I remember that being kind of easy. You kind of like, you were avoiding these ice cream scoops, right? And that's one of the like few that I actually remember from the rest of these. So doing the Ice Cream Machine for sure. Okay. Choose a book. We've got The Magic Paw, Psy Bunny Soap Opera, A Mariquan Menu, Ruffled Feathers, Nasty Lenny. Ooh, The Split Flotsam, which is has horn. This is a book with a horn. The Female Nemo Ranger, Bloomeroo Comedy, and The Little Scorchio.
So I'm gonna go with The Little Scorchio because it is a classic. You could tell by the fact that it's like made in MS Paint. But no, there's many times in which I have made pets happy by reading them The Little Scorchio.
All right, there we go. I think I'm in a cyber sci-fi sort of mood. I'm gonna do the Psy Bunny Soap Opera. I'm gonna assume that is the expanse in the world of Neopets.
That's right.
I'm gonna do Psy Bunny Soap Opera. Okay, an unrelated question: which emoji matches your mood?
Throwing us for a loop.
Yeah, we've got the crying laughter, the sort of yum emoji, the winky kiss heart face, the smiling happy face, the tongue sticking out laughing face, winky face, the normal smiley face, the smirk face, and the shades.
Got to do the shades. That's my,
your cool, that's my cucumber.
Trademark.
Yeah,
it's my trademark.
I got to do the winky kissy face. I love the winky kissy face, man. Or, you know, no, I'm going to do the satisfied, like, happy face. That's more my mood, I think, in general.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Last one here. Choose an elixir. Okay. These don't have names. Can you describe out these, what we're looking at? You don't have to know the exact effects, but there's a visual tableau going on.
Yeah, so we've first got this kind of ice elixir. Mm-hmm. We've got a kind of flask with a rainbow top. Mm-hmm. We've got one that's kind of covered in vines. It's a green. We've got one that is pretty much a tree stump with some green ooze coming out. Another one that is just kind of like, would you say like that's like a crystal vial with like smoke or air around it?
Yeah, it's got like a sort of ethereal, diamond dusty sort of surrounding the topper. Yeah.
Another one that is kind of like a little green, grassy pouch.
It either looks like moss or maybe like a primitive, like a fur covering, like a caveman, right. You know, covering. Yeah.
Then we've got this pink liquid in a really swirly looking vial.
Like a crazy thing. Straw?
Yeah. A sun kind of potion, a potion that has like a sun on the triangular base. And then, you know, let's get real. That's fucking poison right there.
Oh, a skull. It's
it's a goddamn skull.
With a big red jewel on the topper. That's, ooh. Sometimes you need a poison, though. I won't elaborate on that, but sometimes you need poison.
Sometimes you need it, but not today. I think right now I'm going to go for the ethereal potion that
here in the center,
crystal
with the
vial. Yeah,
that one's nice and fancy. I'm going to go with this one here in the with the triangular with the sun, and it looks like maybe there's like a moon in it. I like the mysterious sort of quality on that. All right. We have finished the quiz. We're going to find out which Neopet matches your personality sign. You got the Loop, or the Lupe. That's like a little wolf guy. Wise, stable, and independent. Your Loop. Your friends and family know you would go to the ends of the earth for them. A natural leader, you typically take on the role of a mediator, and your friends come to you for advice and a helping hand. As much as you love being around friends, you need time on your own to recharge, or else you can get frazzled if you're stretched too thin.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I will say a little horoscopy, a little bit like, you know, oh, well, you know, you're a good guy, but sometimes you kind of need a little time for yourself, but you're also like a leader, but you definitely don't, you know, kind of the wishy-washy horoscopy sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm totally in charge except for when I don't need to be in charge.
Right. Have you ever had a Loop as a Neopet? I know you can have you can have multiple. Did you have your Loop?
Yes, I had a Loop. In fact, that was while this fits, it's kind of literally the Harry Potter of the of the Neopets universe. In fact, they actually made a video game. They made a video game where you were a Loop, and it was like an action game, The Darkest Fairy.
That's good. It does kind of look like that sort of main character protagonist sort of pet, right? It kind of just looks like a dog. It kind of just looks like a dog with big eyes. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to find out which Neopet I am. I got the Aisha. Clever, cultured, and witty, you're Aisha. You are a one of a kind, and much is expected of you. Although you're a bit pampered, you're also generous and willingly share your good fortune. You're a perfectionist and can be fickle, always striving for the best. You have many talents and rise to the top no matter where you are. And this is sort of like a cat looking thing, but its ears are kind of on these stalks. Just because
it's
alien look.
Alien. It is an alien cat.
I don't think of myself as like a cat person, but I do think that the text is probably close. I'm a little snooty. You know, I can be a little bit of a perfectionist at times. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. We've finally settled the eight everyone was asking for. What Neopet are you? What Neopet are you? We finally got it. The Loop and the Aisha. All right, we're going to come back. I've got a really great news story that I think you're going to love right after this. Hey y'all, thanks for listening. If you like the show, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/trendinglemon. And for more information and past episodes, visit trendinglemon.com. If you have it in you, tell a friend. We rely on the word of mouth to promote the show, so every referral helps. My name is Bryce Castillo. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/Brycas, B-R-Y-C-A-S. And be sure to follow Sign on Twitter at KeySign, K-I-S-C-Y-N-E. And check out all of his projects like Virtual Log at sign.com. This show is a part of the Diamond Club stream team. Find more shows and join the Diamond Club community Discord at diamondclub.tv. All right, we're back from break. I am really glad to have you on this week's Sign because we have a news story. This broke last week, and it seems like it's been developing pretty much since then. Have you heard about this thing going on with City of Heroes?
Oh my God, no. I've been busy on a lot of different things, and I just saw something appear on my screen that is blowing my mind. Let me break it down.
So last week on the 16th, there was a huge uproar in the City of Heroes community. There are different projects going on to replicate the City of Heroes. City of Heroes was an MMO, an RPG, an online RPG that was originally developed by Paragon Studios, now owned by NCSoft. And it shut down in 2012. It had been around for a long time. It was a big superhero online game, but they shut it down in 2012. And these other projects have come out that are like, okay, we're going to build something that's like City of Heroes. We're going to build like a open source spiritual successor. But apparently, pretty much since City of Heroes shut down, there was a private server running City of Heroes for the past 6 years, pretty much nonstop. There have been a few video leaks that had been posted of you know, people who got into the server and got into all the private groups. But apparently, not long after City of Heroes shut down, there were efforts to try to actually get the IP from NCSoft. Say, hey, like, can you give us anything so that we can keep running the game or making the game? It seemed at the time that those IP discussions were not happening, and so a group of people called SCORE, the secret cabal of reverse engineers, developed their own server for City of Heroes. They had, we don't exactly know how they got some of this code, but we do seem to know that on some level they have server code for the game, so you could actually run the game and run a server so that people could log in and play, as well as some form of a character database, so what people's characters looked like, their levels and information and things like that. But they did it in secret. If you know anything about fan projects or fan revivals, they are very, very it's very, very rough sailing on that, because any company that gets a whiff of something unauthorized, fan-made, will do a cease and desist. Like, no, you cannot make a Legend of Zelda fan action film. You cannot just go and make a Star Wars Episode 10. You can't just go and do that. These companies will go and give you a cease and desist and say, hey, you need to stop that. So they said, okay, we'll just do this in secret, quote-unquote secret. There were apparently you could Google it and find the name of the if you searched the secret cabal of reverse engineers, you would find a listing of them saying that they were going to do it in secret. But they had a secret server, and last week when these videos came out, there was furor. People were so angry. There was this one post here on the City of Heroes subreddit titled "Be Angry." Quote, I, like the rest of you, have been lied to. I have been told City of Heroes has been shut down. Today I learned I've been mistaken. For all these years, City of Heroes has lived on in secret. And since then, there have been a ton of developments. People were initially angry at first, but then at some point, the server code that they were using for the SCORE server was distributed to their Discord server, or to a public Discord server. So hundreds of people had access to this code to start their own server. Apparently, the internal developers of SCORE cleaned it up to remove personally identifying information, to kind of remove connections to their own physical server. But they pushed that out to the community and said, hey, here's, you go do it. You're going to need a very expensive server and all of this other stuff. And so they gave out that server code. Well, now it seems like a public test server of of City Heroes is back online. Over 2,400 people have been playing on this server. Over 8,000 people have registered to play. And this is just an incredible feel-good story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This has me looking right now for one of my several copies of City of Heroes, City of Villains, because you've just given me something to start researching, because this is going to definitely now be an episode. So this is something that is constantly happening in the virtual world space. You end up getting a few people who want to revive or save their game. There's been a very, very big and public play for this for games like there's a game which is going to be an upcoming episode of for the Matrix Online, which was a continuation and a thing that really explains the Matrix. And it's sad because
that all that information, all that story gets lost.
Exactly. Right. All that information is just gone, and it makes the movies make a lot more sense than they do on their own. But you should not have made the media to the point where you have to consume this MMO just to understand why this happened or why that happened or what they're talking about at the end of the movies.
Another really public one was the issue with World of Warcraft, right? People were running their own vanilla servers, very older versions of the game, because they liked that experience better, which Blizzard was sort of targeting those servers, but eventually has, I don't know if it's been released yet or if it's still incoming, but I don't know if they're calling it WoW Classic.
It's called WoW Classic.
Yeah, a consumer product that will let you experience a version of that old version of the game.
And I think that this is I really applaud Blizzard for that, because it shows the viability of these older games as a product. And instead of completely just sunsetting the game, why not say, hey, let's charge for this as a premium so that the people who really do want this game, we can cater to that demographic on a much more scaled down sense than just throwing away this IP that we've spent all this money and time on and people are you know, invested in.
Especially in the case of Warcraft, right? Like, people, this is not people wanting something that wasn't already in the game. This is people taking existing code bases and asking to just play that version of the game. And in a world where, you know, server processing is going to get cheaper, over time, it will be easier and easier for companies to kind of, it should be easier for these companies to make consumer products like this that are kind of charging what they're worth, but also understanding that you don't need the same World of Warcraft, modern World of Warcraft shards as you would for classic World of Warcraft, right? It's going to be a smaller population base, but it also means less resources, and the development is pretty much there. You just need to, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say any part of video game development is easy, but it's people wanting to go back to an old version of the game that you made, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, nowadays, they're constantly updating and doing different things. And, you know, the computations that are used in today's World of Warcraft is nowhere near, close to the minimum spec kind of rigs that they started on. It just makes sense to say, hey, we've got this unused compute power. Why not just use it and make money off of it?
To touch back on City of Heroes, first off, this has been very extensively reported on by Massively Overpowered and Bree Royce writing there, where that game is now is that this public test server is functioning. People are able to make accounts. They're kind of waiting in line and trying to queue up for the game. There's still parts of the game that are missing. Some of the mission data is gone. Some of the content stuff is not there yet. The other sort of unknown is we still don't know what NCSoft is going to do with this thing, right? The code is out there now. People have access to it, and you know, any person, you know, anybody could be like Score and make their own private server and lock everyone out and keep it silent for, you know, 6 or 60 years. With NCSoft not having said anything yet about this, this is all still is potentially in jeopardy, right? One of the rumors kind of going around, even though no one at NCSoft has said anything yet, it does sound like it may be possible. NCSoft may let this thing continue on if the previous player database gets destroyed or sacrificed. I guess as part of whoever had the connection at NCSoft got the server code for the game, they also apparently got a character database, you know, all the people's the characters that you had, the levels and stuff. I think some of that is a concern with the GDPR and new privacy legislation. Even though people associated with the project have come out and said we did not have identifying information in that database, we wouldn't have needed it, that's not, you know, that wouldn't have been a good way to do that. There are still concerns about that. That's still people's data. That's still their data inside the game. And so it sounds like NCSoft might be okay with this if everyone has to start fresh, right? Make new accounts, make new characters, and they'll turn a blind eye to it. Because it sounds like that. I'm not going to say they could, but the community has in the span of a week started another server of this game, so it would be equally possible for NCSoft to do as much with even better source code. But that's still in question. And it's kind of a fast moving story between people accusing one of the lead people at Score of collusion with the subreddit to kind of squash people talking about it to. Concerns of like, oh well, you know, do you have people inside NCSoft? All these different things. But this is a really feel good story. Like seeing the different Reddit threads of people just talking about what it means to play the game again. Their forums have like 8 pages of threads of people making stuff, screenshots of people's characters, the characters that they're making. It's really great. I'm glad that this is out there for people now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, the worst case scenario that happens is obviously a cease and desist. But when you really think about the good that could happen and the new experiences, because, you know, a lot of people that are playing, they weren't around. They weren't able to play the original. I mean, looking at this is playing very, very good in my eyes, because I've actually seen something like this happen before. There's a game by the name of Myst Online, which was made by Cyan, the company that made, you know, the point and click Myst Adventures. They made an MMO years ago, and it was a part of a service known as GameTap.
Right, GameTap.
You remember that old game service. But GameTap went under, and because of that, didn't that mean that Myst went under? But the community of Myst players were so ravenous, and it left everything so like up in the air that they fought to revive the game. And so then it ended up it first started out as a part of its own thing, and then it went under, and then because of their want, GameTap got it, and then that went under, and then the Myst players were so upset about everything that they invented this whole new business model that has never existed before this, which effectively they are like, hey, we're going to volunteer our money and our time to keep this open for everyone for free. And so the game has new content and everything that is created by an entire council of players that effectively take on the roles of the NPCs in the game, and it became a kind of continuation of the story. So granted, it hasn't done a whole lot because Cyan, you know, they didn't have the resources, but because of the want and the desire and the drive of the people behind Myst Online and the people who are still playing to this day, this game is still active. You can download it for free and play the entire game for free. It ended up reviving and revitalizing Cyan as a company, and they have released they've released one game, and they're about to release their second new game. So like, and this is all because of this community. If you embrace your community, then it really, really can pay off. So there's a lot of,
So I'm looking at their website. This is like, I guess Cyan, what, assimilated?
Cyan Worlds.
Is Cyan Worlds separate from, is that the same as the game development company? Has this assimilated this community project?
Yes, Cyan Worlds is effectively the company that made all of the Myst games and everything like that. They now have the game Firmament, and so effectively the whole idea behind it is by allowing the community to effectively have control over the maintaining of the game, and they just act effectively as, we are the legal entity that owns all of this. But all we're really going to do is we're going to take the money that you donate to us to write the check for the server architecture, and we can keep it effectively available and running infinitely. So under no circumstances should we ever expect Uru Live to ever be lost to time. It's the most beautiful fucking thing ever, because if something happens and they're not able to pay the server architecture and everything, the server code is open source. So then somebody from the community can then just, buy their own server and run it until donations can go through so that they can pay for the main servers again. Like, it's amazing.
And that sounds like what is unfolding with City of Heroes here, right? Like, this server code has been functional for 6 years. It just needs to be cleaned up a little bit. But, that's what they were doing with the Score server, right? They were doing donations, and they had stripped out the microtransactions parts of City of Heroes. But that code is out there now. For NCSoft, it would be not just one cease and desist, right? Not just, say, targeting Score, but now targeting anybody who makes a server. Yeah, it would be impossible. That is a good sign for this. This also reminds me, my dad was really into Tribes 2. Do you remember Tribes 2?
Right.
It was a first-person shooter. It had the skiing, the jet skiing. And there is still a community out there playing this game. There's like a dozen servers or something online right now. But that's a similar thing where, because that was, I think partially because that was not dedicated servers owned by the company, but because players could run their own servers, it sounds like a simple-ish project to affect the game client to look for these types of servers and not route them through whatever they were routing through.
Exactly. Pretty much in the days of like Tribes and the original Quake and everything like that, the game client itself was the server software, but what enabled the online functionality was effectively some form of a matchmaking service, like if you remember GameSpy.
GameSpy, that's right.
Yeah. And so pretty much all those things did was they just your server software would have hard code in it saying, hey, send a message to this one central server. And then that one central server just became a big database of where everything was. So, you know, it was effectively a fancy DNS server. That was pretty much it.
Right. And if that's all you have to, like there are even, my understanding is that even for like some online console games, people mm-hmm. are able to do some sort of network shaping to send.
That's right.
To trick the console games, which you can't really affect the clients of, but into sort of tricking them on the network side to go and route to, say, unofficial servers.
Right.
You know, the ingenuity of people to try and keep these games alive is really astounding. And, you know, it is that force in spite of the move to making games be more live services and have them require, you know, developer servers, you know, it's like something like Destiny, right? Like in 50 years, Destiny will probably be gone, right? We will probably, whatever story is in that game will, I guess, live on in Let's Plays maybe, but you know, that unless people are, they make their own Destiny server. Like Destiny's right. not going to keep running as a live service game for 50 years, and all that shit can be gone if it doesn't make Activision or Bungie enough money.
Right.
And I say that as someone who doesn't even like Destiny. This is a really heartwarming story to see what started off as like fury, right? Like a ton of people being kind of upset at this, you know, collective lie, quote unquote lie, not even deception, just like secret, and turning that into something where, you know, literally thousands of people can much like a RuneScape, like we were mentioning earlier, can come back to something, not just necessarily in a nostalgia wave, but in continuing those good experiences. I think that's really special.
It's something, and this is something that I'm, you know, unfortunately I've been a little under the weather, so I hadn't been watching all of my, you know, virtual world tags and everything as closely as I should have, and so this slipped under my radar like majorly, but holy shit, no, this is it, because there's so much there was so much history, so much story, so much love behind this game. Mm-hmm. And when City of Heroes went down, it was one of the biggest, like there were people that were like having practically funeral processions for yeah. this game. And it shows that if you make something that is this impactful, people will remember it years and years and years later, and they're mm-hmm. going to want to keep these things alive.
And I think nowadays, you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, about server processing becoming cheaper.
That's right.
Kind of a worrying sort of trend in development. I think worrying is not the right word, but you see more live service games coming out, you know, like in the Battle Royale sort of right. wave of the past few years, or any number of sort of online games, MMOs, or live services games that can't find audiences and then shut down weeks, months, not very long after launch. We are kind of normalizing, I guess, the idea that these live service games will just shut down in, you know, in like that, right? What was there was a Battle Royale game that launched and then like 2 weeks later shut down. Was that the Cliffy B one?
Oh, I think so. It was
Lawbreakers, but that was another live services game that shut down very quickly. But
it was like kind of the 80s TV mm-hmm. show thing. And I'm trying to, and that's the problem. And that's what makes this so bad, because we can't remember the name of the game.
Right. I'm going to see Cliffy B. Maybe was it Cliffy B? Radical Heights.
Radical Heights. That was it.
Because the studio shut it down because the genre is saturated, and it's you kind of have to, because the expenses on these games will balloon as they scale, they kind of need to know if there's any traction right now. And you know, right now it's a lot of these short-lived sort of games, and you can say, well, I like the way you did this, and I kind of wish you did this in these other games that are more popular. But this is not just, I mean, any big MMO launch from the past decade has always had that air of uncertainty about it.
Yeah.
And it always used to be, okay, well, we're going to launch a new paid MMO, and then 6 months later it would go free to play, and then you would just wait until they shut it down. Because between, I mean, World of Warcraft is still kind of the big elephant in the room, but you know, there are a few big online MMO games, and the rest are going to try, but that's often a losing battle. All right. Well, hey, this was a good trip down memory lane.
Oh, absolutely.
Sign, thank you so much for joining me on the show here. What would you like to plug?
So the main thing that I'm all about right now is this kind of stuff. So VirtualLog, if you go to virtuallog.sign.com, that'll actually take you straight to it, since you can subscribe to that. You can also find me on Twitter at KeySign, so KISCYNE, where I'm constantly talking about all kinds of stuff. I do literally way too much, but if you want to ever get a good idea of anything that I'm about, you can just go to sign.com, SCYNE.com.
That's right, and we're going to have links to all that stuff in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me, Sign.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for having me.